For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Yankees win.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry!
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, MLB senior writer for The Athletic, Jason Stark, co-host of Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr. Coming up, NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Hey! Friday fun day on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, keep the energy going. Last hour, baby. Yes, having a lot of fun here on the Rich. I love being here, man. I really do. Can you tell?
I can tell.
It's very fun, man.
It's always fun when you're here.
I like Mike Hill Friday.
Thank y'all for saying nice things behind my back.
First of all, nobody said nothing nice that I know of, Mike.
That made me feel real special. I mean, you got to understand, I've been doing this for like 30 years, man. And to know that people saying good things behind your back, man, in this business means a lot to me, bro. So,
you weren't supposed to know that we said that.
Well, Rich told me, man. The boss told me. He said that, man. Right. And he said that you guys dog everybody else out.
Threw us under the bus.
What was that? You started with me today. My picture report might be different this
that was
time.
Messed up.
Yeah,
messed up.
You're just like everybody else out. I'm like, what?
We all looked at each other.
Like, man.
We're like, what?
That's okay.
That was messed up.
It's good, man. You know, I come in here. I try and do a good job, man, and have a good time with you guys.
Jack,
man.
I appreciate you, man.
Flowing, dude.
The jacket's fired.
You like the jacket?
The jackets.
I had to wear it, man, because I get a little cold. I didn't want to show off the guns. I've been working out a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
It's a family friendly show.
I've been working out a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all want the female demographics to go up on TV side.
We wouldn't mind it.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying?
We
take it over the last hour if you want to.
We skew older and male, so maybe having the female demographics.
Really? I did oil up my arms too. So, you know, I got that baby oil on there, man. You know, you got to moisturize.
Be careful. Wait a minute. Be careful with the baby oil.
I was able to find some baby oil. We ain't got no free calls over here, bro.
I don't know, man.
Ain't nothing that happened over here. Final hour, Rich Eisen Show, man. Oh my gosh.
Hold on, doing so well, too.
All right, Mike Jones,
who?
Coming up, NFL writer for Athletic.
Can I just interject? Do people get that reference when we do that?
They should.
I really hope people understand what we're doing.
So, Mike Jones.
Early 2000s, yes, Mike. Tell him.
Mike Jones was a rapper back in the early 2000s. He had a song called Mike Jones, and everybody, when he said his name, people would say, who? Mike Jones? So that's what. And I think that's the only song Mike Jones ever made.
Literally, I think he was a one-hit wonder.
Still tipping.
Still tipping.
That's what I've been singing all day.
There you go. There you go. That's true. That's true.
Come on now.
Mike Jones. Shout out to Mike Jones back in the day. So that was a song reference in the hip-hop community, Mike Jones.
Mike Hill. And I still do that to this day. If I hear anyone named Mike Jones, I go, who?
You just got to say Mike Jones.
You guys remember that Lamar was doing a presser and the guy was like Mike Jones and Lamar was like, wait, your name's Mike?
I think this was him.
Now that makes sense.
Oh, we got to ask him about that. I definitely got to ask him about that.
There can't be more than one, right? Yeah. There has to be the same
I think
one.
Mike Jones is a pretty common name.
In the sports
Maybe
world?
Maybe not in the sports world, but in the world.
Yeah. for sure.
TJ, you know what I do now, man? I say Mike Hill made it.
Mike Hill made it.
Yeah, you know, Mike Hill made it. That's a little music producer drop right there as well. We're going to talk about the NFL right now.
I just say mustard on the beat.
Mustard on the beat. You can't say the last word, though.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, before we get into everything else, man, I know we don't talk a lot about the WNBA on a lot of media, but hey, man, if you ain't watching the WNBA finals between the Liberty and the Lynx, that game one, that was a classic. Now, I'm a New York fan, basketball fan through and through, so I'm going to watch the women's team just as much. And I know Caitlin Clark's not playing in the WNBA finals, but the WNBA puts a great product on the floor.
That was a good game.
And that was a great game. If you're a Lynx fan, if you're a Liberty fan, it was heartbreaking, just like all New York fans. It reminded me of 95. Remember Breonna Stewart missed a layup right at the end that could have forced a double overtime? Oh. Remember 95, Patrick Ewing missed a layup against the Indiana Pacers that knocked them out of the... Right, so that reminded me of that, but the Lynx came back from 18 points down in that game, 15 down in the final five minutes of the game. Yep. It was incredible. Courtney Williams, 4-point play with 5 seconds to go in that game.
That was nice,
to put them up by one. Breonna Stewart did hit a free throw. She could have won it in regulation if she missed the second free throw.
Winning
the overtime, man. It was just incredible game. So, shout out to the WNBA for continuing to put a great product out on the floor and giving us a really good WNBA finals matchup, even without Caitlin Clark, even without Angel Reese, man. So, shout out to them right now. Game two, a must-win game for the Liberty, of course. They've been in the... I think this is the sixth time they've been in the WNBA finals and they have not won a championship yet. So see if they can bounce back against the Lynx in game two there. Hey, before we go into Mike Jones.
Who?
In a few minutes.
The man put his phone number in a song, people. Right? That was legendary.
Yeah, that was incredible, man. That was absolutely incredible. It's a big week in the NFL, as every week is around the NFL. But I want to go over a couple of teams that are in, I believe, must-win situations this week. Not necessarily just for playoff implications, but just to kind of get them back on the right track, confidence-wise. Stay afloat, man. Just like there's a lot of disarray, a lot of dysfunction already in the NFL with a couple of those teams. And I got to start off right now. I'm going to start off with the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I was saying the MESS mess, because it always seems like the Jets, no matter who's on that team, the organization, the franchise, is just always dysfunctional in some kind of way. And sometimes you got to put some of the blame on Woody Johnson, man, since he's taken over the team. And, like, they have not been the same team ever since Bill Parcells left as the head coach there. They are, obviously, they fired the head coach in Robert Saleh. So now then they took the play-calling duties away from Hackett. Now you got a new head coach in there to try and turn the team around. And you're relying, once again, we was talking about the Jets with Rich Eisen. They're relying on a quarterback who's in his 40s coming off of an Achilles injury to be the savior of this team. And I don't believe he is the savior. Once again, as I was talking about with Rich, I believe you got to look at Aaron Rodgers as the Denver Broncos looked at Peyton Manning back in the day. Hey, be good enough to lead us. Be good. Great players and elite players. Elite players are the ones that can take a team that is good to mediocre and make them much better and have them rise. Great players, along with other great players, can win Super Bowls. Good players who are still efficient need other good, great players around them to be great. At this point in his career, Aaron Rodgers is just a good player. I don't think he's great. He's definitely not an elite player in the league anymore. He's not. Patrick Mahomes is elite. Lamar Jackson is elite. CJ Stroud is becoming elite. I want to see more out of him. He's got to be more consistent. I think to be an elite player, you got to do it at least two or three seasons in a row. Right now, Aaron Rodgers, if you remember his days back in Green Bay, was good. Won an MVP. Don't get me wrong. His final season with the Green Bay Packers. But coming off an injury last year, give him a break with that. Only, what, 5 games into this season right now, not the same player. Obviously, the offense is good. Like, 2 weeks ago against the Denver Broncos, give him a little leeway, a little grace, because it was sloppy conditions out there.
Yeah, pouring down rain.
But once again, I want to see how this offense is different. And now if you're that guy, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and if you're there and you're the offense coordinator, if you're the coach of the New York Jets right now, you got to basically say, hey, man, I got to take the keys away from you. I can't run the offense that you necessarily want to run. I got to run the football. I got to get motion. I got to get things in order to get this offense going. So the Jets, one of those teams that's in a must-win situation, I believe, against the Bills. And if they win, once again, they're in first place in the AFC East, and that's so crazy. Another team that's in a must-win situation, how about the Cincinnati Bengals, guys?
Dude.
I mean, 1-4 on the season?
Mike, that seems a little dire. That's what I'm saying. When we're saying the Cowboys are dire, yeah, but we got a little leeway. The Bengals, that really seems like that's dire straits to me.
And they got to get their defense together. Can I tell y'all something right now? I mean, the offense is outstanding. Joe Burrow, if they were playing. I will say this. The positives for the Cincinnati Bengals is that Joe Burrow is balling out of control. Mm-hmm. If this team were better record-wise, we'd be talking about Joe Burrow as an MVP this year.
Without question.
Easily. All right?
Jamar Chase balling.
Right? See, they're balling on offense. The defense can't stop a nosebleed right now. Can't stop a nosebleed. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, the New York Giants are just 2-3 this season. But as a Giants fan, and once again, as a fan of my teams, I'm always glass half full, glass half empty, but I'm as critical as they come when it comes to my teams. I'm not that person. I'm sometimes cautiously optimistic, but I don't jump on that bandwagon and say we're going to beat the world or anything. I have limited expectations sometimes because I've been disappointed in the past because my daddy didn't come around and pick me up on Saturdays like he said he was, so I was being on the stoop waiting for him to come. I'm like, he's coming this weekend, and he never came. So
he
I've been disappointed.
Mike, get off his back, all right?
Yeah, he just never came back. He went to get milk from another family. That's where you want to get milk from.
Wow.
Yeah. And Don't open up wounds.
Also explains your Cowboys hate now. So I'm there with it now.
You
now
understand.
There's a reason.
I understand. I don't want to see your family happy because my family's dysfunctional.
Okay.
That's problem. That's what haters do.
I ain't get
but
it before.
But I do believe that this Giants team, even though they're 2-3 this season, they are a much better team than their record indicates.
I think so. Daniel Jones has been playing really well the last couple of weeks. Yeah. So look, Tyrone Tracy's come in, filling the steps of Devin Singletary. He's been banged up. No Malik Nabers this week. That's second week in a row. Still dealing with the lingering effects of that concussion.
That concerns me.
Thursday night, it was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, when he got hurt against the Cowboys, he went down. I didn't know what the injury was until
last play of the game, pretty much.
Last play of the game, he comes down, he goes into the locker room. I'm like, what's wrong? And I thought maybe, okay, the Giants still had a chance to come back in the game. I'm like, why is he going to the locker room? It just seemed like he got the wind knocked out of him. The fact that he missed last week's game against Seattle and probably going to miss this week's game as well against Cincinnati, that concerns me because if you're still in concussion protocol for two weeks,
that's bad.
I mean, concussions obviously is something that you never want to deal with. You never want to have to, you don't play around with when you're a player or anybody outside of that. And I'm glad that the NFL is doing a better job when it comes to taking care of these players. But I'm concerned about the lingering effects for that for Malik Nabers. So hopefully he can come back because he was having an outstanding season. But like you mentioned, Daniel Jones ain't bad.
Ain't bad this year. Playing pretty good.
And then Tracy stepping up the way he did. Some of these younger players coming on. The offense is starting to click.
Yep.
Starting to come around after a slow start. And the Giants easily could be 3-2 this season.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they could have been 4-1. I mean, the Cowboys, they played the Cowboys pretty tough. They just couldn't, the run game just couldn't get going for them against the Cowboys. And against the Commanders, if they would have had a healthy kicker in that game, they would have beaten Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and the Giants could easily be in first place right now, tied with the Cowboys and with the Commanders in first place in the NFC East. So this is a tough game. It's not going to be a walkover game for the Bengals. I think the Bengals do have too much offense for that Giants defense, which still hasn't solidified totally. I still need to see more out of Burns. I need to see more out of Kayvon Thibodeau. Of course, Dexter Lawrence is a beast in the middle. He could be defensive player of the year the way he's playing right now. But Bengals, must-win situation. They got to get back on track. You can't go to 1-5 or those doubts will start creeping in. The other team that's in a must-win situation, you can go both of these teams, Browns and the Eagles.
Oof, big time.
For two totally different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles coming off a bye. What are the Eagles? How are we feeling about the Eagles? What kind of team are we expecting out of? Is this the Eagles team that's going to turn things around, or is this the Eagles team that finished last season on that downward spiral and kept going. Jalen Hurts got to stop turning the football over. But I will give them this grace. They played a lot of games without A.J. Brown.
And Devontae Smith.
And Devontae Smith.
Yeah, they're two best weapons they really haven't had.
They haven't had. So I want to see them healthy.
Yeah.
Coming back. So once again, this is with him coming back, with those guys coming back, this is a must-win situation against a Browns team that is reeling. Browns have no offense. You're the Eagles. You should be able to shut them down right now. Deshaun Watson, I hear he's a nice guy. Outside of obviously some of the off-field situations that was going on, so I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody out there that might have been affected by that or whatnot. But I hear from some of the people that know him, he's a nice. And obviously he was a talented quarterback when he was with the Texans. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what's going on. Did Rich say something? We was talking about Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Watching film on him. Like he doesn't even know what he's seeing out on the football field right now.
Yep.
I know he's under a lot of duress. I know he's getting sacked a ton of times right now. But Deshaun Watson that we saw in with Houston, he was able to book, get out of those situations and make plays downfield. He's not doing that. Cleveland is in trouble. And if it wasn't for the money, Deshaun Watson would be on the bench right now. I will say this. If it wasn't for the money and if it wasn't for the fact that maybe they're looking at it and say, well, we go to Jameis, is that – how much better is that? I mean, Jameis is from Bessemer, Alabama, where I went to high school and everything, and I love Jameis. Don't get me wrong. But are they looking at Jameis and saying, do they have an upgrade if they do bench him? Is it going to get better? Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year. He knows what he's doing. Also, the only grace I get to the Browns is, once again, Nick Chubb should be coming back pretty soon.
Yeah.
You get that running game going again. If he's the Nick Chubb that we saw before he got hurt, the Browns are a different team with Nick Chubb there, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, the defense can be solid and do the things they need to do, but this is a must-win situation for both of those teams. The last team that I say is in a must-win situation, and this is not that's going to make or break them, but we want to see what the Cowboys are made of. Even though they've won two in a row, even though they beat the Giants, even though they beat the Steelers, whatever, I want to see them do this against an elite team. I want to see how the Cowboys step up against the Lions at home and, once again, not lose a home game. So that's another reason why this is a must-win situation, I believe, for the Dallas Cowboys. Because they have not shown that they are a good home team this year. Where last year, I don't think they lost a home game last year. I think they were on a long winning streak before they lost against the Green Bay Packers. But once again, I think that the Green Bay Packers showed the world how you beat the Cowboys. Run the damn football. If you can run the football, if you can be physical up front against that defense, you have a great chance. Get out in front. Have Dak try and bring your team back or whatever, and until Dak can show that wherewithal to be able to do that, you got a great chance against guy. And Detroit is the team to beat right now in the NFC. They're physical. Jared Goff's playing. The defense is incredible. And if they get the lead, Hutchinson is about to tee off, bro.
Dude.
Hutchinson's about to tee off.
Yep.
So, once again, you cannot lose another. What are they on to at home this year, TJ?
Yeah.
Going to how are you going to be a contender in the NFC and you can't win your home games?
Well, Mike, my argument has been, you know, throughout the whole offseason, people just joked about Dallas and how they didn't improve the team. They were all in, but they didn't make any effort to make the team better. I just don't understand how it went from that all offseason to now they're a Super Bowl contender if they didn't do much to make the team better.
Because it's the Cowboys still.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
At the beginning of the season...
I guess I'm never going to understand.
But once again, you get the spotlight when things are great. You get the spotlight regardless, right? So if you can take the spotlight, you take the positive attributes that you get, right, when you're doing well and you get all the notoriety, you're going to have to take the arrows when they come as well. And I believe the Cowboys, well, outside of the Niners, the Lions, who else? Green Bay Packers... that people are looking at as top teams in the NFC. The Cowboys definitely to win their division. Nobody expected the Commanders to be this good. Don't get me wrong.
I thought the Eagles were the favorite.
I don't even think the Eagles were the favorite. The way the Eagles finished last year, I don't think the Eagles were the favorite. And that's, once again, that's why it's a must-win situation for the Eagles. Sirianni could lose his job. If they lose this week.
Oh, baby.
You think, though, there's a chance of that happening?
Bruh, if you lose to the Browns.
It feels like they're always teetering.
And you coming off a bye week?
Yeah.
They've been on Sirianni's case for a while. I mean, there might have to be a change made there. I mean, like, hey, Woody Johnson
talking about the receivers. I'm standing up for Sirianni and Eagles.
Now you're getting them back, and you're doing it against the Browns. Lose against the Browns, find out what happened. Is that game in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah. You lose against the Browns in Philadelphia and find out what happens.
They're almost 10-point favorites, too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And then look at the schedule coming. Cleveland, at New York, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to be better. Dallas, yeah. Schedules at Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, look, the Eagles should be a good team.
But once again, four winnable games right there between now and week nine.
But once again, you got to win them. You got to win them. You beat Green Bay to start the season, which is great. Lost to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins doing his thing and whatnot. New Orleans got that win after New Orleans had been a juggernaut the first 2 weeks of the season. Losing to Tampa ain't bad. Tampa's a good team. Don't get me wrong. But you can't look like you did against Tampa because you look bad against Tampa before the bye week. You look bad against Cleveland coming off your bye week. Nick Sirianni's in a lot of trouble once again. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll talk about much more of this, much more NFL with Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones of The Athletic, NFL writer, coming up next.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Work sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. I love watching the clips from the old shows on the TV side that they don't see on the radio side. You guys were just showing a clip of Kevin Hart. you guys have some really good guests come on this show.
Yeah, that was before the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Yeah, yeah. He predicted 83-6.
Great guest.
Who's the one guest that you guys had, celebrity in here, that like had you in awe?
Oh, I think when Arnold Schwarzenegger came.
Schwarzenegger.
Last year, yeah. You know,
Kevin Costner.
Wow. Phil, yeah, that's huge right there.
Schwarzenegger is something, because you got to remember that Arnold comes in and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then he decides that chair there was a baby chair, as he said. So he moves the chair out. He grabs Brockman's like laptop chair, you know, your basic desk chair that we all saw. And he rolls Brockman's chair over and sits it right there because he thought that was a baby chair.
So he just did it. He didn't even ask y'all. Nope. He just did it.
He goes, what is this? This is a baby chopper.
Wow. So, and yeah, Brockman, you just got up.
I was like, yeah, he was sure. Already up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, I thought he's short, though, right? Is he kind of short?
He's about 6'1".
I thought he was
80. So he's,
yeah. Okay, so he's still shrunk a little bit. Okay, all right. He's still the Terminator. I'll be back. All right, let's talk more NFL with Mike Jones.
Jones.
NFL writer for The Athletic. Mike, you ever get tired of that, man? I know you're in hip-hop culture, bro. I know when you say your name, Mike Jones, how many times do people say, who?
It's, I can't even count. But, you know, it's like every once in a while that Lamar clip resurfaces, and it's like the one day of the year that my kids think I'm cool. So I guess I'll take it.
So that was you, obviously, in the Lamar Jackson clip there, man. Hey, let's talk about what's going on in the NFL Week 6, man. We're kind of addressed the Steelers situation, the quarterback situation. Russell Wilson seems to be healthy again. Mike Tomlin said he will be the number two. He's going to dress this week. Justin Fields has been solid all season long. What are you hearing about that situation in Pittsburgh? Justin Fields, the offense hasn't been scoring a lot, but Fields has been effective. Is there a possibility that Wilson takes over in Week 7?
You know, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because like you said, that offense has not been scoring a lot. Yes, that Justin Fields is looking efficient. He's doing a lot of good things. You know, hasn't turned the ball over a whole lot, but you got to have touchdown passes. And that's something that's been hard to come by for this offense. So I'm really interested in seeing how short the leash is once Russell Wilson is actually back. I would be surprised if we see him this game, but say they go out there the game after that and they're still not putting points on the board, then we might see Mike Tomlin make a switch and look for some explosiveness out of the veteran. Because look, he probably still has some rust to knock off, but if it's another week of practice after this week right here, maybe it's something where he comes in a relief effort if things aren't going the way that they want him to.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Hey, you know what? They got to get some help on offense from the receiving core as well. I mean, Najee Harris, of course, the running back, got to get him going as well. But George Pickens, man, they talk about his usage rate. He's wearing nose patches, nose guard that's not conducive to the NFL standards. He got fined for that or whatever. What's really happening with George Pickens right now? He doesn't seem happy. And they're talking about his usage rate. They want to keep him effective when he's in there. What's really happening with that wide receiver situation down there?
Well, this is a young guy that has got all the talent in the world, but still, I think, has some maturity issues. And obviously, look, like we said, they're not scoring a lot of touchdowns. There have not been him lighting up the scoreboard. And I think that, look, he very desperately wants to be involved and wants to be a guy. He looks at himself as a game changer. And if you're not getting the ball, you're not having those plays in the end zone, the opportunity, because, look, all the production, you know, that triggers incentives and things like that as well. So, look, I think he's a little frustrated and wants to have the opportunity to make plays to help his team win games. So they've got to figure out how to do that. And, you know, obviously, like I said, maturity and things like that. But once you're winning and you're involved, that really serves as the deodorant for all of the ills that might plague a young guy.
Devontae Adams could help that team out. Devontae Adams could help out a number of teams, the Jets as well, maybe the Saints down there or whatnot. How come we haven't heard anything about Devontae this week? What's the latest with that, and who could be the front runner right now for his services?
Well, look, the Raiders won a whole lot for him, but the problem is they don't have a whole lot of leverage. Right now, I think that they're hoping that they can get, you know, a second round pick and maybe some more after that. But if you understand that the guy doesn't want to be there and the team is shopping him, you're not going to just cough up premium picks. You're going to wait for the price to go down. You'll wait closer to the deadline when things are a little more desperate and maybe the Raiders are more willing to come down on their asking price. But you do have a number of teams that he would be able to help. I very much am curious to see. At one point, you know, the word was that he wanted to go to the Jets. Now that they have this, you know, dysfunction raising its head again, just fired their coach, do you really want to be a part of that? Or is it something like a team that's a front runner like Baltimore? You mentioned Pittsburgh. We'll see. But again, right now they want a second round pick plus some, and a lot of teams are just figuring, hey, let's wait a little bit till this asking price comes a little more reasonably.
If you're the Jets, you almost say, why not? You know, if it's kind of all in this season with Aaron Rodgers, you don't know how much longer you have with Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams is one of his favorite guys. Why not? I mean, Aaron Rodgers came out and said he doesn't have as much power as everybody thinks he does, but now with Todd Downing now calling the plays, they got a new head coach, as you mentioned, with Robert Saleh being fired and Hackett not out. How different do you think this offense will look with Downing calling plays, with Aaron still being the quarterback?
Well, you know, that's the thing that's going to be really interesting, because the reason why Nathaniel Hackett was here is because he is buddies with Aaron Rodgers and was going to run what Aaron Rodgers wanted. That's obviously not working. Aaron Rodgers is not looking great. Will Downing have a better feel for the game and a better way of putting them in position to succeed? I don't know. It's, you know, a new situation for all of them. Rodgers, you know, he is a guy who's seen and done it all, but we saw him get fooled a number of times last week by a really aggressive and creative defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. So it's not just on the play caller. Rodgers has got to be better. But look, if this offense is still sputtering, then maybe they will pick up the phone and say, fine, we'll give you whatever we want. We need another game changer opposite Garrett Wilson to try to help this offense get rolling.
Yeah, and once again, if the Jets win the game despite everything that's going on Monday night, they'll be in first place in the AFC East. I was talking before I had you on about the importance of this game for the Eagles against the Browns, and especially Nick Sirianni, who's on the hot seat right now, just two seasons after leading his team to the Super Bowl. If they lose against the Browns, how critical will it be in Philadelphia for the head coach?
Man, it's going to get really hot. I'm not saying that he's going to get fired after that, but that pressure is going to just magnify even more intensely. Because, look, this is a team that's 1-4. They can't get right. They can't get their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, right. They've got injuries on their defense as well. So they're not playing up standards. And if the Eagles can't beat that team, I mean, look, that would be a really, really bad look. I think that they are going to be able to get things together. They're going to have their wide receivers back. Their defense is still these young guys trying to grow into their roles and what Vic Fangio wants from them. But look, they looked awful against Tampa Bay, and Nick Sirianni said that his team wasn't prepared. So he's got to do a better job of stoking the sense of urgency, attention to detail, and positioning these guys to go out there and do their jobs, regardless if you have a starter in a position or a backup in there. You've got to be more competitive. And look, you've got a quarterback you've invested heavily in. Jalen Hurts has got to be better, but there have been frictions with him and Nick Sirianni. They got to find a way to smooth things over and produce and get wins.
And that's a recipe for a head coach getting fired. I mean, if you just paid a franchise quarterback all that money and there's friction between the head coach and your star quarterback, I mean, that's not a good recipe, a bad recipe for disaster if you're the head coach.
No, it definitely is. And look, this is something that they have downplayed. There was talk about it last year, rumblings and everything, and they said that they were fine. But look, Brian Johnson was the offensive coordinator who had a really strong relationship with Jalen Hurts. Then he became the scapegoat, even though Nick Sirianni's offense. But Sirianni really struggled to kind of seem like to counterpunch once the defense has figured him out. So basically he benched himself and brought in Kellen Moore, but we're still not seeing the explosiveness and the cohesion that you would have thought from this offense. So, yes, Nick Sirianni's got to figure out how to get this thing right. Again, that relationship with Jalen Hurts is extremely important. And we'll see if he can, you know, if the bye week helped them figure out what was missing in their approaches.
You know who's figuring it out and getting it right? The rookie quarterbacks right now. I mean, Caleb Williams is starting to come into his own over the last couple of games. Bo Nix is looking better. I love that he went back and forth with his head coach on the sidelines. I love to see that rookie quarterback show that tenacity. But leading the pack is Jaden Daniels. He's just been incredible all season long. First of all, overall, man, what do you think of this group of quarterbacks, this group of play of quarterbacks? Because it's good to see all three of them playing well. That's out a couple of picks in the NFL draft, especially after what C.J. Stroud did last year.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of pressure on these guys, and, you know, especially Caleb Williams. You know, he was described as a generational talent. I was disappointed with the approach that the Bears took out of the gates. It was like they put way too much on him. This happened dropping back, throwing 30, 50 times a game. But in the last several weeks, they really seemed to figure it out. They're running the ball more, using the play action, doing things to lighten the load on him. And he has steadily improved. He's coming off of his best game, this past week. And they have a chance to win three games in a row for the first time since in like almost 10 years, which is hard to believe. Yeah. But yes, you're exactly right. Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and Brian Johnson there. The work they've done with him, the way they started out with him, really just short, quick passes, get the ball out of his hands. And as they've expanded the playbook throughout the season, as this has continued to progress, is just nothing short of impressive. He's accurate. He's making great decisions. He's picking his spots, knows when to run, knows when to throw, keeping teams off balance. It's pretty impressive to see. And look, it's like, you know, the number two guy, once again, looks like he's the front runner for rookie of the year. But again, it's good to see Caleb Williams improving. Bo Nix, on a little bit of a win streak right there. He's a competitor.
Yep.
You know, some people thought he had limitations, but he's got a fire and is not afraid to pull the trigger. We're seeing good things. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with Drake May, because I do think that, look, Jacoby Brissett is a savvy veteran. They've got more than just quarterback issues there. Mm-hmm. So this could be a tough situation. You're throwing him in there to the wolves with Houston and D'Amico Ryan's defense.
Yeah, that's
I have no idea.
As you're Gerard Mayo, why do that? Yeah.
Boy, you're seeing a rookie head coach who's a defensive-minded head coach who, you know, this is his first time handling a rookie quarterback. This would not have been the week that I would put him in there. Maybe I'd have done it last week, or maybe wait another week. But we'll see what happens there, with Drake May.
One more question on Daniels, though. I mean, his success has been phenomenal so far. His team success has been great as well. I mean, this is good, and it's good to see that the Washington franchise is doing something they haven't done since RG3's rookie season, to be quite honest with you, to have that excitement, that explosiveness. What about his game makes you think he can sustain this, though, throughout the rest of the season?
Well, the accuracy, because that shows good decision making, both by him, and it shows that his coaches understand how to put him in position for success. Because lots of times you'll see a rookie quarterback that struggles because his coaches don't know how to use him. And I think that's what happened with Bryce Young. But here you have a perfect blend of a coach who understands how to use him and a quarterback who fully understands his role. And he's doing a really good job of reading defenses, putting the ball in the right space, knowing when to pull it down and run. And so, normally maybe you have a couple hot games and then defenses get game film of you and you start struggling. We have not seen that. We've seen him continue to steady rise. Now, look, the second half of their season, I think they have four division games mm-hmm. in like 5 weeks, something like yep. that. So that will be a truth teller for them. But he's got a good foundation right now, and their defense is gradually improving. Their offensive line is improving, and so that's the trend that you want. That's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, Ravens Commanders should be the game of the week in the NFL this week. Commanders obviously having a great season, maybe the surprise of the NFL so far. Jaden Daniels having a great season. The surprise on the flip side, on the bad side, the Bengals 1-4 this season. The good thing about the Bengals being 1-4 this season is that their four losses are by combined 15 points. I know they got to get the defense together, but is there anything that indicates that they can turn this thing around for you?
I think so, because again, they've been in this situation before. Mm-hmm. You know, they always start slow. For whatever reason, this year they didn't have their wide receivers in camp. There were contract disputes and things like that. And so there was, some work they had to do. Their offense, it seems like it's gotten their explosiveness back. You're exactly right about the defense. They've got to tighten things down. But when you're scoring 30 and 40 points a game, you have an opportunity. You just need one or two more stops. So if they can get that tweaked with their defense, then yeah, because they, again, have a number of divisional games coming up. I think the next four games they have are against teams that are very winnable games. So they can come out of this stretch, four games they play, and then they'll play the Ravens, and they have an opportunity to be right about 500, 4-5, 5-4, something like that. And then they'll be able to turn things around possibly if they can get hot on this stretch right here, the Giants, the Browns, Eagles, Raiders. That looks like winnable games, at least 3 of 4 right there. And then, you know, you'll see what happens as you get the Ravens and then you go towards your bye and, you know, they'll be in position to compete.
Mike Jones, do you give out your phone number too? When you, do you sing out your iconic phone number when you...
Not mine. You know, I had to change it, you know? So it's not the 281-330 anymore.
There it is, man. Always great having you, man. Great talking to you, man. Great job as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me. I'll see you.
Mike Jones talking NFL right here on the Rich Eisen Show, man. Anything stand out to you guys, like, on that whole thing? Or even talking about your quarterback right there, because I'm wondering the same thing, Brockman. Like, why on earth are you going to start a rookie quarterback? I mean, look, I know the Patriots nothing to lose right now. But,
you got to do it at some point.
But not against the Texans. Not against that defense.
But why not?
Well, no, confidence. You know, I think it's important. How many times have we seen quarterbacks or any player come to the league and right away, if they lose their confidence, they're just never the same? Put them in a bad situation. I think some quarterbacks and players, period, in any league, even in the NBA, you put them in the right organization, got the right coaching staff, you can make or break them. If you got the wrong coaching staff, you got the right wrong organization, you put them in a wrong situation where their confidence is shot early on.
Yeah, but this isn't, we're not the Panthers. We're not other teams, you know, where young quarterbacks have gone in and just gotten, we're not the Jets. Like, we're the Patriots. We're the 6-time champs. We have an organization that's strong and a foundation that's strong, great ownership and a strong front office. Yes, Jerod Mayo is a new head coach, but he's not some guy off the street.
No, I know.
He's been with the team for a long time. He's won Super Bowls there. And if now's the time, now's the time. If you watched all the games, which I have, the offense is less than high school. Like, there's no threat whatsoever at any point at anyone on the field. They're not going to stretch. The running back, yes, but he's also banged up.
Yeah.
They can't stretch the ball, and Jacoby wasn't making any plays with his feet. It's just zero threat. So
can they protect them, though?
But Drake May's ability to push the ball downfield and make some plays with his feet will also help the offensive line a little bit, because it's not just going to be 10-man fronts, fire blitz every single snap.
Okay.
I think they're going to help each other.
Okay.
And that's all I've heard all week is how bad, you know, the offensive line is and how the kid's going to get killed. I haven't heard one person say one positive thing about Drake May heading into this game. Didn't play in front of good offensive lines at North Carolina, and the guy was making plays all over the place, highlight-type throws, highlight-type runs, and he's the third overall pick. Like, let's watch a game or two before we say this is the worst coaching decision in the history of the NFL.
Fired up today, boy! Oh, my gosh!
One person on Twitter has had anything positive to say about this move.
I love it.
Beats Houston on Sunday, then what?
That day, man, you know, it's possible. I mean, Drake May, look, I loved him. I loved him when he was at North Carolina. I thought he did so much with nothing.
Absolute athlete, a stud athletic family. Yep. This kid has faced, you know, you think his older brothers beat the crap out of him nonstop. I think the dude could take a hit. I think he can go out there and make some plays. And I think he's going to have people talking on Monday.
Wow.
And Mike, think about how many people learn how to swim by getting tossed in the deep end.
I still don't know how to swim. I don't know what you, don't throw me in the deep end.
Never too late, Mike.
Hey, fella. You see, Philly, the Cowboys fans, Patriots, see, they're on edge right
Let's
now.
Let's go. Well, Feller's described, but not talking about how bad the Raiders are.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not much for me to say.
Yeah, ain't much for you to say at all.
Go Dodgers.
Yeah, Devontae Adams. Y'all made a change of quarterback, too.
Yeah.
AOC started.
It ain't going to make much of a difference at all.
That way.
Yeah, yeah. You need a quarterback there. Oh, wow.
I said that at the beginning of season two, Feller.
Wow.
2-1-3-3-0-4.
My team is 2-3, and I'm optimistic, man. I ain't even that fired up about it. That's okay. We've had to wrap things up on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going to talk about it. I've got some things to say about the Giants. I got some things to say about my Yankees as well, coming up as we wrap up the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Back on this fun day Friday, Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eyes, and Mike Hill, the favorite fill-in radio host of the guys
Yeah, boy.
Chris Brogman, TJ. Thank you for looking out for me. Thank you, fella. I'm pretty sure you, Del Tufo always tells me, he comes over to Fox and tells me, man, we love you over there, man. Come on, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Del Tufo's the mayor.
I love Del Tufo, man. So I saw some little skits you guys were doing when he was boxing or something.
Back in the day, in the first couple of years of the show, like, we would do... Mike and I would go out and do all kinds of dumb skits.
That was so funny, man. That was hilarious, man. Yeah, get injured doing some things like that.
We went to the car show one year. That was crazy.
Wow, man. Yeah, this is a fun show. I really enjoy doing it, man. I don't mind getting up and doing it, man. Anytime you guys need me, I'm here for you, for real. I do it for free, but I need the money.
I do it for free.
You got some injury updates for us.
Yeah, let's just run down some injury notes as we head into the weekend. Indy and... the Colts are playing each other this weekend. Anthony Richardson, going to be a game-time decision on that oblique. We saw Joe Flacco balled out last week. I mean, he wasn't the reason they lost, but he kept him in it. Jonathan Taylor, he's out. So Trey Sermon again this weekend. Will Levis is going to start for the Colts, for the Titans against the Colts. So expect something crazy to happen.
Is that good?
I have no idea. I picked up Indy. I have a Chiefs D in fantasy, and they're on a bye.
Chris,
so I picked up
Levis
Indy.
Levis is in or out?
Levis is in.
Okay.
He's starting. So guaranteed pick six for the Colts.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. Bijan Robinson popped up on the injury report yesterday for the Falcons with a hamstring. He got a full practice in today, so he's good to go on Sunday. Over in London, Gabe Davis and Evan Ingram have been in and out of the lineup for the Jaguars. They're questionable, still dealing with what's plaguing them. They need all they can get against the Bears. Giants, Mike?
Yep.
Devin Singletary questionable with the groin.
Okay.
Even though Tyron Tracy had a huge game last week.
Yep.
And we know Malik Nabers is out with this concussion.
Okay.
He's out.
All right. Okay. Others got to step up, man.
Yeah.
Others got to step up.
Joe Mixon, he is expected to play. Let's see. Romeo Doubs will play. You know, missed last week for
Mixon was pissed by the NFL. Did you see
Joe
that?
Mixon's pissed.
Yeah.
Rashad White, game time decision. For Tampa, he popped up with a foot this week.
What was Mixon upset about?
Because he got injured on a hip tap.
He got hip dropped and it wasn't.
Yeah, and he's saying that it wasn't fine. Yeah, so it wasn't flagged. And he's saying that the fines for other things are much more excessive than what you're supposed to be cracking down on this year, protecting those players. If I'm Indy, I'm like, man, hey, Rich, you want to sit that? Sit out.
Joe Flacco was
the fountain of youth. Some of these old guys, man, I love the redemption stories.
I like it too.
Last year, he did it last year. I mean, how about even Andy Dalton early on with the, yeah. with the Panthers? Now, Darnold.
Sam Darnold
could be the MVP of the league, bro.
No doubt.
I mean, 5-0. I mean, first of all, shout out. The Vikings are 5-0. Sam Darnold's getting a lot of credit. Obviously, they got the best wide receiver in Justin Jefferson. They got a great head coach. But, man, with the job that Brian Flores is doing with that defense, like, if Brian Flores, I understand he's suing the NFL. Is that suit still going on? I think he's still suing the NFL, right?
Brian Flores? Yeah. I think so. I don't know.
I know where he's coaching, but at the same, I know he coached with the Steelers or whatever, but the job that he's doing as defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings, look, I don't know everything that happened down in Miami. I know Tua's happy he's gone and all that type of stuff like that. He wasn't nice to Tua eventually. And Brian, if they keep this up, man, you got to consider him for another head coaching job. I'm sorry, man. Like, do the right thing, NFL
teams. He'll get interviews for sure.
Forget the interviews. I mean, like, they get interviews sometimes, man. Like, with the Rooney Rule, you're going to get interviews. You're going to. I don't even think he got an interview in the offseason. I don't think he got one. But I think Brian Flores, man, when you talk about names that are popping up, we're talking about the Jets head coaching job and all these names popping up or whatever. I didn't see Brian Flores as a candidate. And I don't know if that has anything to do with his lawsuit that he has going on with the Dolphins and the NFL. But if Brian Flores is doing what he's doing with the Minnesota Vikings and they're playing the way they're playing, man, where I'm talking about the skies in these defense that's confusing some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, you have got to give this man another opportunity to be a head coach. It would be a shame if they didn't, man. It would be a shame if he didn't. Once again, shout out to all the teams that are playing this weekend. I just want everybody to be healthy. It's going to be a really good weekend, college football. Mm-hmm. Hope my Alabama Crimson Tide bounces back after that loss against South Carolina.
What was that?
They just, you know what? They were so up against Georgia,
right,
that they went in and they thought it was a cakewalk. They had beaten Vanderbilt 23 in a row.
Yeah, they were, what, 24-point
favorites? 24-point favorite. Hey, yeah. Vandy's going to fall up. Vandy's a better team. There is not one team outside of Mississippi State in the SEC that's a pushover.
Yeah.
Not one. That league expanded this year and got even better and tougher. You cannot say, and a lot of people hate on the SEC when it comes to college football. Oh, you're always overranking them. They always win. I think five of the last nine national championships from the SEC. I mean, come on. Give them the credit they deserve. And once again, Texas could be the best in their first ever time being in the SEC.
Quinn Ewers back this week
against Oklahoma. It's a big game. 4-5 that Oklahoma's won. Fellas.
Yes.
Mike, great job, man.
Thank you, bro.
Bingo. All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.